Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke. Let us listen to what the Spirit is saying. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
We're grateful for the music ministry of Jubilate. We're grateful for the presence of Paul Hine at the piano this morning. Paul assists Stanley with our music program, and he's a amazingly talented pianist. So thank you, Paul. And it's one of our responsibilities to honor our elders. And increasingly, there's fewer and fewer people for me to honor. I do want to honor Clanice and Clarice's mother, who is visiting today from where? From Mobile, Alabama. Would you raise your hand? It's great to have you here. Welcome. She doesn't look it, but Dawn assures me that she's a couple years older than I am. So we honor you, and we honor your visit, and we honor you for the family that you've raised who are such great leaders here at Foundry Church. I'm going to talk for a few minutes this morning, and after I talk, I'm going to have a time of prayer before we have our prayer of confession and then Holy Communion. During this worship service, I'd like to invite you now, as you listen to me talk, to also be aware of the other people in the sanctuary. I'm going to ask the Spirit of God to give each and every one of you an awareness of two people to pray personally for as we prepare for communion after my remarks this morning. To be aware of the people in the congregation, this may well be someone that you do not know, but who has a need for prayer, and the Spirit will guide you to think about them and to be aware of them. And when we have a time of prayer, I'd like you to pray silently for that person. And you do not know the difference that your prayer for a specific other person may make. If I could do one thing differently, for years now, I would have had us praying more for one another. Because we come into this sanctuary, each one of us at our own place, and we don't need to know what that place is for another person. We can still lift them up in our prayer, and I believe the Spirit guides us to pray for one another. So be aware of one another as I talk for a few moments this morning. Then we'll have prayer, and then we'll go to a time of confession, and then our Holy Communion. One of my best memories here at Foundry is a series that we did years ago now. And the theme of the series was the biblical image of God, the potter. And during the series, during our worship services from the beginning to the end, while we were worshiping, we had potters up front in that area where the music stand is right there, and there was a table, a wheel, and they actually threw and made us a new communion service, new plates for communion and new chalices during this month and a half long sermon series. And during the sermon, you could sometimes see and hear the potter beating the clay and trying to get it to the point of submission so that it could be moved. And during the prayers, you could hear the potter sometimes pick up the clay and slam it down. And I thought that the potter molding the clay while we were worshiping was one of the richest and most powerful images that I've ever experienced in worship. And during that entire season, we sang every Sunday the chorus, "Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me." And then as part of that series, we had house meetings. I can't remember how many we had. I went to all of them to listen. It felt like we had a house meeting just about every other night during that series. Lots of house meetings wherever at least a half a dozen people would come and share with one another. And during those house meetings, we asked people the question, where have you experienced, when and where have you experienced the Spirit of the Living God molding you? And every night after those house meetings, I went home staggered by the spiritual experiences that people shared. And I became aware as a way that I had never been aware before of the depth of spiritual and religious experiences that you've had and that you have and that people have. And I wasn't aware of it because these are things that we often don't talk too much, talk with each other about much. We don't share these things much. In the Victorian age, people did not talk about sex. Now we talk about sex ad nauseum, but we don't talk about our spiritual or religious experiences with one another because we're afraid people will think that we're a little loosely connected, that we're a little strange, that maybe we're a little unstable when we talk about encounters with God, encounters with the divine, the experience of the presence of Christ in our life. So we don't talk about it much. I want to go back to the story of Emmaus. We've been focusing all this season between Easter and Pentecost on this one resurrection story from the Gospel of Luke, the story of the road to Emmaus. Two of Jesus' disciples on the first Easter Sunday afternoon are walking from Jerusalem, the big city, 6 miles on the road to Emmaus, to the little nowhere town of Emmaus, just to get away from it all. And they're confused and they're disappointed because the week had not gone the way they thought the week ought to go. Jesus had died on a cross instead of becoming the Messiah, the King of Israel, that they had expected. And there were strange stories of resurrection, and it was all too much and too confusing for them. So they decided to get out of town and have a little town time to themselves in the quiet little town of Emmaus. And they're walking six miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and a stranger catches up to them, and it's Jesus, but they don't recognize him. And they start sharing their story with Jesus, and Jesus shares their story with them. And they're just about at the town of Emmaus, and now it's evening, and everybody's getting hungry. And Jesus, it looks like Jesus is going to keep on traveling on the road. And the disciples, these two disciples say to Jesus, not knowing it's Jesus, "Why don't you have supper with us?" And they're getting ready to eat, and Jesus takes a loaf of bread and breaks it and gives it to them. And as Jesus takes the bread and gives it to them, they recognize him. They know him. They know it's Jesus. And then the Bible says that just as soon as they recognize him and know that it's Jesus, he disappears. He vanishes. So I want to say two things this morning before we pray for one another and have communion together. And the first thing I want to say is that it is possible to know God. It is possible to personally know Christ. It is possible to experience the divine, the transcendent, that which is glorious and beyond us, which connects us to a past and a future that we personally will not see here. It is possible to touch and to know the eternal. I have a friend, a colleague that I, we were both pastors at the same church for a number of years, who now is a spiritual, I don't know what to call her, a spiritual counselor. And what she's doing now actually for a living is that people come to talk to her about their experience, their spiritual and religious experiences that they don't want to tell their friends or therapist about because they're afraid their friends or therapist will think that they're coming unhinged because there's no space in our world anymore for religious experience. And so she actually now makes a living for people coming to her who've had a spiritual or religious experience, and her job is to help them process it without the assumption that maybe they're crazy because they've had an encounter with God. If any of you want her contact information, I'll be glad to provide it after the service. So I want to begin by saying that there are instances in our lives where we can encounter and know God, where we can experience the real presence of God. And we call these moments, we call them sacraments. Times and occasions when we experience the presence of the divine in our lives, we call sacraments. Now, the Methodist Church has two legal sacraments. The Roman Catholic Church has seven legal sacraments, and if you run into my wife, Jane, between the services, who's a product of parochial school, she'll be able to recite them like that. Those are like the official legal sacraments. But there are many, many more experiences in life that are sacraments and that are sacramental. Whatever experience we have through which the presence of God shines through is a sacrament. And in my opinion, in my experience, the most powerful experience of sacraments that I've had, as much as I love communion and baptism, the most powerful experience of sacraments I've had have been outside of church, in which through some sort of presence or encounter, I have had a moment of knowing that God is truly present in our world. I love to sit. We have a little side porch on our house, and then we're in the city, and it's all shade. There's no sunshine, so very little grows except some bushes. But I love to sit on our side porch and to watch the birds our bushes attract. And in the spring when we mulch and dig, it attracts pregnant robins, these big pregnant robins who dig and find worms. And God, I come as close to knowing God, I think, sometimes when I just sit and watch the birds. And Jesus did say that if you want to learn to trust in God, you should consider the sparrows, whom God values and care for. So for me, I don't know what it is for you, but for me, just sitting and watching the miraculous life in the bird kingdom, for me, can be a sacrament. Lunch with a friend can be communion. Changing a diaper can be a baptism. Gerald Manley Hopkins' wonderful poem says, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. The world is a sacrament. Nature is a sacrament. Human beings are a sacrament. You are a sacrament." Someone may experience the presence of the divine, may know God, may know Christ as a result of their encounter with you. So the first thing I want to say, based on this story from the road to Emmaus, is that God can be experienced and God can be known. God will make God's own self known to us if we are open to receive an encounter with God. Now, the second truth is that if God and Christ can be known, they can't be captured. They can't be caged. They can't be mechanized. You can't put God and Christ and the Holy Spirit into an app where if you push it, they will automatically appear. Christ can be known, but he cannot be captured. What an impossible job. We're grateful, by the way, for those who agree in our congregation to serve as communion servers, communion stewards, communion servers, who work with the bread and the wine. But we give our communion stewards and servers an impossible job. We ask them to stand there and to hold the bread and to say to those of us as we're receiving the body of Christ and to hold the cup and to, as they invite us to dip the bread in the cup, to say the blood of Christ. And we know that most of the time, much of the time, when any one of us takes communion, we will not know on any particular week, we will not know Christ in the bread or the wine. We will not have a profound experience of the presence of Christ in the bread and the wine on any particular time. We do Holy Communion as a ritual activity, as a way of saying we want to receive the presence of Christ. We want to know Christ, but you can't mechanize it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to know every time you participate in Holy Communion. Most of the time, you will not know. It's a statement, an act of willingness on our part to know the presence of Christ in the ordinary things of life like bread and wine, but it's more likely, at least in my experience, to happen actually for me when I'm eating bread and drinking wine at the commissary than it is when I'm at the front of the church. Do you understand? So this is an act of faithfulness on our part saying we want to receive Christ, but we may not, because you can't capture and keep Christ and put Christ inside of the bread we break, or here in our church, the Welsh's grape juice that we open. You can't capture Christ. You can know Christ, but we can't capture Christ. So we come and we offer ourselves at this table, and our communion servers provide us with bread and the cup to dip the bread in, and we say, we want to know Christ, we want to receive Christ, whether we experience the knowing or the receiving or not. There's no guarantee. No matter what we do, we can fast for 2 weeks. We can go away on a spiritual retreat and be silent for a month. There's no way to push a button and produce Christ. We can only open our hearts and our minds and spirits and invite Christ in. So here's the two learnings from the disciple on the road to Emmaus. If we are open to the stranger and willing to share our story with the stranger and hear the stranger's story, and if we're willing to invite the stranger to supper with us, Christ wants us to know him. But as soon as we know him, he's likely to vanish because we can't nail him down. It's a message of Easter. We can't nail him down. We can't put him in a bottle. We can't put him in a pill. Christ comes to us as Christ will, but Christ will come to us if we open our hands and invite Christ to come. So we're going to have Holy Communion. I'm going to invite you now to think about the two people that you're led to pray for this morning. If you would bow your heads, think about the first person. They may be someone near you, someone totally at another place in the sanctuary. In a time of silence, offer them up to God, who knows the needs of their hearts and minds, the struggles and the celebrations of their life, and take a moment to pray for that person. And now pray for the other person that the Spirit moves you to pray for. Offer to God the needs of their life. Now pray for yourself, things that you may not have shared with anybody else in your life, but that you want to offer to God, that you are led to offer to God in your prayers this morning. Take a moment of silence to offer up to God your needs.